Dear Heavenly God, thank you that we can look at your word. We can look at the stories of Jesus. Today's a good story, Lord. Thank you for giving us this good story and help us to listen to you, to know that you are the one who loves us and forgives us and is with us forever. Now, as we study your scriptures here and across the hall, help us to really get into your word and to know you better and to know each other better. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, gang. Amen. Thank you, Brooklyn. As anyone who was unfortunate enough to be around me this week, our scripture this morning, as you know, comes from Matthew 18, verses 23 through 34. Let us hear the word of God. Jesus preached, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But the same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. He seized him by the throat and throttled him, saying, "Pay what you owe." When his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he could pay his entire debt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I need you to get the reference. It was a couple of Saturdays ago, Saturday morning. I was leaving the house, and I said to my mother-in-law, Marilyn, "I'll see you later, Mom. I got to go write a sermon Saturday morning." And she says, "That might be a good idea since tomorrow is Sunday." And she was laughing at me. And so in the moment, I said, "Oh, don't worry. I've been at this about 30 years now. I have yet ever to stand up on Sunday and said, 'Sorry, folks. Get to go home early. No sermon today. I got nothing.' I haven't done that yet. But I came mighty close this week." And it wasn't because I didn't have anything. It's because I had too much. And my focus was way in the wrong place. I kept focusing in on what a great story this is and the details of the parable. And I never got to who was preaching the parable and the perfect, total, and complete forgiveness and love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, my God and your God. Now, I'm not really angry at myself for getting caught up in the details of this parable, because it's a great story. It's just one of the greatest stories that Jesus told. Okay, King is sat down. He's booted up his computer. He's got a spreadsheet up on it, and he says, "I'm 10,000 talents short." So he calls in the servant who is in charge of those 10,000 talents and says, "Pay up." Now, let's put it in perspective. It takes a lot of effort to owe somebody 10,000 talents. Think of it this way. King Herod's yearly annual income in those days, and he was as rich as they were, his annual income was 900 talents. This guy owes more than 10%, more than 100% more of that. According to blogger Philip Massey, in today's currency, The servant owed his master $7.04 billion. Try to get your mind around $7.04 $1 bills. You can't. You fill up the building wouldn't hold it. Yet the servant drops to his knees and says, "Mercy, please, mercy, I will pay it back." Now, he knows that's a lie. And the king knows that's a lie, because you can't pay back $7 billion at $5 a week. Even if he gave him his whole paycheck for 200,000 years, he couldn't pay it back. But in his mercy, the king says, forget it. Forgives the debt. Lets the servant off scot-free. There's no probationary period. There's no $5 a week payment plan. He forgives the full debt, wipes it, and hits delete on his computer. It's gone. Now the newly forgiven servant confronts a guy who owes him money. Soon as he leaves the room, he sees him in the hall and he confronts him. Now, I always heard it that it was about $20. I can forgive a $20 debt with a member of my family, a member of the church, a friend of mine. $20, I'm a cheapskate, but $20 I could do. Others I've heard said it was a day's pay. That's hard. You know, but a day's pay for a member of my family, a member of the church, a friend, I could do that. Others, I just read others said that this was equivalent in today's money to $12,000. That's a lot. 12 grand is a lot of debt to forgive. It isn't easy to forgive that substantial amount. But compared to $7 billion that the king had just forgiven him, that's nothing. Nothing. In mere moments, though, the servant forgets this astonishing, unimaginable love and forgiveness and literally chokes out the other servant. Astonished, the king gets the servant back in and says, "Shouldn't you have shown the same love and forgiveness that I showed you?" Then he delivers this unforgiving servant to the torturers until he could repay his debt. It's forever, folks. He's never going to get out from under the torturers. And the simple story is simple. The message is simple. It's straightforward. Jesus is telling us that our debt to God is totally beyond our repayment. Nothing we can do, no forgiveness that we can do can compare with what God has already done for us in Jesus Christ. God has and already completely wipes away and clean our slates, no matter how vast our sin or our trespass or our debt. God has wiped it out. If God has forgiven us the debt we owe him, then we must forgive our fellow men and women the debts we believe they owe us. Nothing that we have to forgive of each other can faintly compare to the vastness of God's love and forgiveness of us. To go with the New Revised Standard Translation, those who wish to be a part of the church, the very life of God here on earth, must imitate the incalculable patience and generosity and love of our sovereign God. It's a straightforward message, but I kept looking for more all week long. I drove people crazy. I kept seeing it as a parable about gaining, losing, gaining salvation. I kept looking at the ethical dilemma of the king. Oh. So I apologize to the pastor nominating committee, to the Shalom team, all four commissions I met with this week, Sarah, Rebecca, Reverend Ruth, Kim, the old guys group on Thursday morning, Nuts and Bolts. Even the nice women I had dessert with Friday night got an earful of the wicked servant. I apologize. Because it wasn't the real lesson. Never hit me until yesterday morning, listening to preacher Dallas Willard on video quote Jesus' mandate to us from the Last Supper. The mandatum. Maundy, Thursday, that's why we call it that, because there he gives us the new commandment. I give you a new commandment, John 13:34, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We have been loved by Jesus Christ, not to death, but to life. We have been loved by Jesus Christ into life forever. God gave up everything and became a human being. God's sacrifice for us is worth billions and billions and billions, so we can't even count that high. Greater love hath no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. God in Jesus Christ just didn't lay down life for us, but became human for us. In the beginning was the Word. That's Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Philippians tells us he emptied himself out of his godness and took the form of a slave, accepting even death, death on a cross. He took our sins on himself, and our sins died with him. Jesus paid our debt to sin and evil and to death. Jesus gifts us through incredible sacrifice that we can't even imagine. Jesus gifts us with eternal life. That's wiping a debt off the books. With a love that is so rich and good and so deep and wide, our debts, our trespasses, death, damnation, suffering, and evil are gone forever. We have been freely gifted with love and life. We have been freely gifted with always life with God. Surrounding the throne of grace with believers of every time and place, living in perfect love. And our Lord Jesus Christ demands of us, makes a commandment. I command you to love one another just as I have loved you. That means sacrifice. That means forgiving when we have been sinned against. That means forgiving when others tear us down. That means forgiving when we are injured, forgiving the debts we owe or think we are owed, forgiving trespasses, forgiving sins, loving as we have been loved. It's not easy. It's not easy, but it is his demand of us. All week long, as I bothered people, somebody would finally look at me and say, what parable are we talking about? You know, what is it called? And even my answer missed the point. I'd always proudly say, the parable of the wicked servant. That's wrong. That's not what the parable is. It is the parable of the king's love. It's not about either of the servants in the parable. It's about the extravagant, generous, loving forgiveness of the king and the expectation and command that we love as he loved. Should not you do the same? Haunting question. Should not you do the same? We are to forgive as we have been forgiven. Not easy task, but it is God's expectation. The message of the parable that so very nearly eluded me this week is so simple. Jesus loves you. Jesus forgives you. And he expects the same love and forgiveness from each of us. We are to forgive as he has forgiven and to try our darndest, even though it's not easy, but to try to live and forgive as he did. He demands of us that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Amen.